And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
We here. We back.
Hello and welcome to a pre-camp edition of a fully stocked Warriors Plus Minus. I should have really let Marcus Thompson intro it because you're typically introing it, but you're back. That's the big news of the day is Marcus Thompson is back. How are you?
I'm not all the way back. I'm just here. I'll be fully back when camp is back, but I'm so not ready for this right now. Like, I feel like we just left Boston.
We did just leave Boston. This is their life. This is they got away from this life for 2 years, kind of, and then the pandemic mixed in, just throttled everybody's brains. But they to me feel somewhat refreshed. I don't know about you. I mean, obviously we talked to Steve Kerr and Bob Myers today in press conference.
Bob is walking, right? That helps.
He's not limping around. Steve took a European tour, and I think he feels fresh.
Tour that stopped at Santa Clara.
Santa Clara yesterday. We had to intervene with the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch quarterback discussion, and they seem fine. We'll see. It is weird. It's weird for me, who someone who covers football. I am going to Denver this weekend to cover a football game while training camp starts for the NBA. That's just completely. It's never happened before. It's hard for me to deal with. I will miss media day. I don't really care that I miss media day, but it's something I've done every year for, what now, 20 years? I can't even imagine. I've never missed a Warriors media day since I've been up here, and I'm missing this one because I'm covering the third week of the season. It's just bizarre. But, hey, we'll deal with it, and we got a good spot out here. Tell them where we are, Slater.
We are, I believe it's called Sky Bar and Chase Center, where they did the press conferences today. We have taken the little outside patio overlooking. What ship is that in San Francisco right there?
It's one that's always there. I forget which one.
USS something, as Marcus tells us.
The one you always see outside the right field foul line at Oracle Park with the Giants. John Miller talks about it. We're right over the bay. Very nice view of everything. Sun is out. This is not terrible. It's a good place to do a podcast.
Marcus Thompson, your largest takeaway from the Steve Kerr, Bob Myers pre-training camp availability was?
There might be one extension.
Over under 0.5 extension.
I'm going with the one. I'm going with the one.
Which one, though?
Jordan Poole. Is the one I'm going with.
Because he's got the deadline. You think that's
the deadline.
You know what else?
Now you could probably get him at a – he kept saying we want him at a number that we like. So that feels like the most reasonable one that they could get at a number they like.
I thought it was notable that they said, we are meeting with his representatives when we get from Japan. Like, that's happening. It's the first serious negotiation. Bob, pretty transparent. But for him to say that, I think, they pretty much know that that's going to be a very important time. Maybe Poole throws out a huge number. Maybe the Warriors come in low. I don't know. But I think we will know something pretty well by that, after they have that meeting, however long it takes. And, I'd be on I've gone back and forth on this because of talking to them and hearing other things, but I would say Wiggins might be in there too. Like, if they can get Wiggins at a good number, they're going to get Wiggins at a good number, and they're not going to hesitate on that one. Draymond, that might be a little tougher. I would say kind of rank them in that order of likelihood in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Poole, as you're talking about, you're looking towards an exploding cap down the line, and they're making decisions based on the next 5-6 years. Well, Jordan Poole's the 23-year-old who can grow into a deal where you could theoretically get Jordan Poole at a number now that'll look, man, that's a bargain down the line. Where is there a big number where Draymond Green or Andrew Wiggins is going to look like a bargain down the line. They're kind of fully formed players.
Well, if Andrew takes a pay cut, right, that could look pretty good. And I think they're not giving him, in my mind, I don't think they're giving him a raise above 34. So that one, you know, he's 30, 26. Like, he's still young. I mean, that one could be kind of a good deal.
You know what I would say I think is the difference between Poole's situation and the other two? Poole could explode this year and earn himself a max to the point that you would be sitting there going, man, if we had assigned him last summer, we could have got him at a little bit more of a discount than now. Whereas Draymond is not going to explode himself into the $40 million range this year. Poole, I mean, Wiggins, like you're saying, yeah, we're probably talking somewhere in this, like, 27 towards 37 range at the high end. You know, maybe how he plays this season will fluctuate that a little bit, but Poole is the one that you might go, ooh, you might.
The most volatile. Yeah. Most volatile, yeah. No question. And, yeah. And it would be not terrible to get him at a number that's fixed before it possibly goes skyrocketing. And that's the negotiation. That's the deal. I would also point out, just probably given the question I asked Myers and what I'm thinking, and I might write this eventually, is they could sign some guys and know that they could trade them. You know, I mean, Poole, you can't right away because he's going to be base here, all the weird stuff. But, like, there's not just those guys. There's other guys on the roster. They're not frozen on the number. That number is not frozen. The salary number, even if they extend two of these guys, even if they extend three of these guys, they're not frozen with this roster. Then some of these guys can get moved to try to make the numbers correct. I'm not going to say that's absolutely happening. I'm just saying as we look at this huge luxury tax thing that we all know is coming in a year, because that's when the pool number would go up, I don't think these things that they're dealing with right now are exactly what they need to be dealing with in a year. There's some flexibility there just in terms of contracts you can get off of. They've done it in the past. And Myers referenced one that we all know it goes to 2016, that they could do some deals and just move off of them and get enough space to sign Kevin Durant in 2016. That did happen.
Am I wrong in thinking he was talking about HB?
Talking about him. Well, theoretically, I don't know this for a fact. Not that I have since followed up. Yes, it's Harrison Barnes.
Could have gotten an extension and left.
Then got an max. Yeah, that's what was the tell. As Barnes, they offered a certain number. Then he got a max. So what Myers' reference is, theoretically, is that if they could have extended him from less than the max, even if it took away dollars from what they could have offered to Durant, somebody was willing to pay him 28. So if you get him for less than 28, you can trade him because he's on a deal that's tradable and then still have the money available to pay for Durant.
We don't need to go too much down that line, but that would have been kind of tough maneuvering to get Dallas to take him in the time that it would have mattered so you could still have the money to...
He's saying you can do it that fast. If you have a valuable player on a good... I guess the main thing is if you have a good player on a good contract, you can always move him.
Yeah, I think that.
And they've done it. Maybe I should write this before. This is pretty interesting stuff. I'll wait. I got Fournier stuff to do.
Yeah. You know, he kind of deflected my question about, like, could if you don't sign these guys, or if you sign one and don't sign two, if you sign two and don't sign one, could this create an issue this season? And, like, understandably, like, I don't expect him to be like, yeah, I think they might go crazy about it. But what? I mean, we'll probably know more on media day with how all three of them answer these questions.
I think Steph's going to be an interesting barometer. Like, if he says, geez, why isn't Draymond getting the deal here? That will be pretty interesting. I don't know that he will. Not his tendency. But I think Steph's going to be an interesting read, too.
I mean, we're really talking about Draymond, though, right?
Who can imagine him being?
Well, I mean, yes, obviously, he's, like, you know, candidate number one in this. But, like, Jordan Poole, like, I'm not saying it's going to be a DeAndre Ayton situation. But, like, you know, Jordan Poole's situation, if it doesn't get solved like he wants, like, will be interesting. And then Andrew Wiggins, now, we all don't expect him to come out and have some crazy quote about it, but
he was the star of last year's media day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was the star.
I'm a champion. I'm going to say what I want to say.
Hey, he's right. He was the star of last year's media day. Remember that? Woo. But, you know, let's say Andrew Wiggins doesn't sign one, and then Andrew Wiggins, like, has kind of a quiet opening month. That'll be a story. Like, that, we'll be writing about that, and I'm just – again, it's not something Bob was going to detail today, but I'm just that I'm very curious about that.
I wonder if what happens with these extensions, how that impacts, you know, Andre Iguodala returning. It's like, hey man, we're not giving any of these dudes extensions. We kind of need you here, like come back, Andre, come back. We're not, especially like if you don't give Jordan Poole extensions, like. hey man, we kind of need you here. I'd be curious if the full court press is on for Andre to come back if this thing doesn't map out.
I agree. I mean, I understand that. That's an interesting factor. But they want him back for James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga. Like, those are the two guys.
I think Jordan Poole's in that, too, though.
Jordan Poole probably, too. You're right. But Jordan Poole, now they're trying to, you know, forcefully put Jordan Poole in that championship-proven category.
The foundational
But you're right. He is still part of that young group. I just talking to the people we've talked to, like, do you think, like, Andre might let them down a little if he doesn't come back? Like, it feels like they're – and you can't say they're counting on him, because if you say something that Andre's going to do, he's going to do the opposite. But does it feel to you guys like they're almost counting on Andre coming back?
Andre Iguodala, in my opinion, would not be coming into the facility, meeting with Rick Celebrini and showing his face around all these guys to go, bye, guys. Peace. I'm good.
On September 21st.
I think – like, if he's not coming back, it's because of other moves he's doing that's more significant than this. And how can he do that if he's not working on them? You know what I'm saying? You kind of got to say, I'm out, to go work on the moves. I mean, I do feel like he wants to say it on his own terms. But, I mean, a big part of this, and Bob talked about it, is it's a hard thing to look at Steph in the face. Like, it's hard. And so, you know. That's their guy. So at some point,
you don't think it's hard to look at Rick Celebrini in the face? Was that easier than Steph?
Man, I don't think that's difficult at all.
Actually, well, and also the other thing, and like, you know, Bobby even like mentioned this specifically. But if he's like, you know, I don't really want to make the Tokyo trip, and I know we've talked about it, but
I feel like doing preseason.
I remember it was, I think I was watching the Tom Brady documentary thing he did, and they were talking about Michael Strahan. Like, it was Michael Strahan's last year, and Michael Strahan didn't go to camp. He had like held out. He was thinking about retiring, and then he did come back, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. That's why it was a big deal. But he was like, I always knew I was coming back. I just really didn't want to do two-a-days, you know, essentially. And I'm not saying Andre's doing that, but it just, to me, all signs continue to point to, like, it's happening. He seems to be coming back. What I'm more curious about is, does he come back and knowing, like, I'm kind of shifting more and more towards the Udonis Haslem role? Or is it the messaging? Remember last year he came in, he's like, I am coming to play. I am a player. I'm sure he'll still say that, but I wonder how he's really looking.
I think he's a little less of that. I remember last year, they're like, oh, yeah, Andre can play. He produced. He played in the finals the year before, right? He was important. Or 2 years before, whatever it was. He had that weird, he had the weird year where he didn't really play. But I just think that it's a little less than that. We're not hearing that so much. I think 32 games of being healthy last year and, what, two playoff games, what, it was four playoff games. I think they got to be realistic. It's just not happening physically for him. I think he wants to know that he can at least give him, you know, as many games as he gave him last year, maybe a little bit more. But they're not going, man, this guy's, we're going to plug right in. He's going to be, when we're playing Phoenix, he's got Devin Booker, and this is going to, those days of even saying it are over. But I do think they're pretty much feeling like he's coming back. I think they feel that. And again, he might change his mind. He might have not be as much as they think he is. But I think my sense is they wouldn't be talking like this at this point of the season. The tone of it is that Andre's coming back, and I think and they're very, very happy about that if it's true.
They also have clearly left, like they put the training camp roster out today. He's not on it, but there's not somebody else on it instead of him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's clear, like, there's a empty spot that if they were getting the sense he wasn't going to fill, they would have, like, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson or something, you know, something like that.
Even if it's, like, a temporary Andre. Yeah. Andre, you say you're coming back, we're going to get rid of this guy. But I think they know.
Ben McLemore didn't make the roster, right? I mean, like, this is...
That could have been because of Ben McLemore, though.
But it's nobody. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's not a human at this point. So, I think they probably do know, but, you know, we all got to wait for the Point Forward podcast, apparently.
Yeah, when's that next drop?
Friday,
Season 2 begins. The end of season 1.
And again, this is not an Andre... I'm not putting this on Dre, but is that podcast better if he's on the Warriors this season or if he's off the Warriors this season?
Yeah, I don't think that's any question, right? Like, I mean, like, he was doing during the playoffs, he's doing live rooms with, like, right after the postseason. With
Jordan Poole in Boston hotel rooms and so, stuff. I mean,
and not that that's why he's doing it, but it's definitely a perk, right? And, you know, like, if
if you know anything about Andre, he's probably negotiating that, right? He's probably like, look, I'm coming back, but Steph, I need 2 episodes from you. Draymond, I need Clay, I need 1 from you. Like, you, I mean, Andre is, you know, he's a businessman.
It's broke down over how many appearances a Draymond will make on the
the particulars. beyond that, today, I think, you know, this, it wasn't big news, but it's notable news that, like, just there's no pre-camp injury notes. You know, you're seeing it across the league right now. Like, you know, Thunder was just like, hey, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is out for, like, 6 weeks or whatever it is with an MCL. Robert Williams has to get surgery. And just a lot of stuff is just trickles out this time of year around the league where you're like, you know, I remember when they got Willie Cauley-Stein? It was like, starting center, Willie Cauley-Stein. We get to media day, and it was like, why is Willie Cauley-Stein in a boot right now? And remember Willie Cauley-Stein?
Still might happen. Who knows? You're right. I mean, I think you asked about Ball and Rollins, and they've been cleared. I guess Rollins just started scrimmaging. That's big. Like, you know, these guys who did not play in summer league, had minor injuries, just kind of want to see what does Baldwin look like on the basketball court. And
you're going to be making some trips to Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
if that's
true. I'm not going to say it. You say Ron Adams and I will be driving down there. Apparently, Baldwin is Ron Adams' favorite. I did not know that. And that's a pretty good sign. Like, it's if a guy, especially a big guy, is somebody that Ron Adams likes. From the beginning, when I heard that Adams loved Wiggins, I go, I'm going to give him a leeway. If Adams likes Wiggins, that means he plays defense. And I don't know if this means for sure that Baldwin plays defense, but usually that's the tip-off. If Adams likes a guy, he plays defense. And if you play defense and you're skilled, you're going to be playing in the NBA. So we'll see. I did not know that. And so Kerr tipped that one off. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Was that Myers? I can't remember.
It was Myers. Myers, okay. But, you know, it's going to be good. It's good for Baldwin just that he's obviously able to play. Same with Rollins, who could have, like, a third point guard type role. But, I mean, the big one is obviously Wiseman coming in. And you know, they're kind of hyping what James Wiseman's last month and a half have been, which is...
Man, they always do this.
They're hyping James Wiseman.
They say they're not going to, and then they do it. But, you know, he's James Wiseman. Like, I'm sure that 7'1" running up and down the court is pretty interesting. So they have to say it. And Myers did say, like, hey, he's the only one who's played in every single pickup game at Chase Center. Again, it could feel like a little thing, but for him, it's a big thing. He showed up every single time.
Well, and he even said it. There's been no swelling. That's derailed all of last season. I mean, I know it came out in a mysterious way to a lot of the fan base and, you know, kind of had to uncover the arthroscopic surgery and all that.
Who let the fan base know about that, by the way? Who uncovered that?
But the general problem, as we all know by this point, it just kept swelling up. And what they're saying now is, like, he's playing every single day and it is not swelling up. And that gives him confidence in the knee. Okay, he gets confidence in the knee. Then you can kind of go out there and be like, let's stop. Nobody's thinking about the knee. We're thinking about how you get better as a basketball player today. This is a absolutely vital training camp for him coming up. We all are under the understanding it's exceedingly likely they're going to pick up the fourth-year player option.
Although, you know, they're not like slam dunking that one. I mean, I'm sure they will to maintain the value, but I think there was some thought that you don't. But when you start talking about deals that could be moved, and Slater, you've been the first one who's kind of mentioning this, and I'm nah. They pick up the fourth-year option. What is it going to be, $10
million? $12.1
million. Yeah. They're going to be able to move that. That's a big money to come off of. But if they attach something else or even somebody loved James Wiseman, someone is going to be there aren't going to be many teams saying, oh, hell no on that one. So, like
I could name 10 right now. Yeah. You're just like a rebuilding team. Like, exactly. You're the Pacers. Right. Like, yeah,
sure. Get a free look at James Wiseman? Absolutely. So, like, that's what I'm saying is when we start looking at the way this roster is formulated, looking at a year from now when that pool contract explodes – and that the penalty would be massive. We start looking at how they might trim it down or options they have to trim it down. I'll put it that way. Wiseman's fourth year is going to be part of that conversation.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs. so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
So much of the answers to these questions like come from seeing him on the court. He's getting on the court now. So to me, I mean, he remains, and we've been saying this for years, but he remains storyline number one to me in camp. I don't know. I mean, where are you at on it?
Yeah, I'm more on Kuminga. Like, I feel like he's got a little bit of a taste, so now there's another level. I think Wiseman, he's basically a rookie, right? So to me, I'm looking at Kuminga. You know, and Moody too, but they've made some bets. Like he said, like, there were some players they could have got, but they said, hey, why overpay? Let's just ride with these youngsters. And, I mean, that was pretty startling to me for Bob Myers to say, I don't think we can get what we got this year, what we got from the minimums last year, right? So they're kind of banking on the guys who are making some money to produce. I feel like in order for them to be good, how are they replacing Otto Porter, Gary Payton II, and that's Kuminga, and that's Moody.
It's a little DiVincenzo, Jermichael Green, but honestly, those are downgrades. You know what I mean? So,
and you don't know if they're going to stay healthy. And you know,
if the DiVincenzo and Jermichael Green fills that role this year, then that means Moody and Kuminga are a disappointment.
DiVincenzo, I think, is going to play no matter what because you need that other guard, wing player. But, yeah, if Jermichael Green is a major part of this, I would think Kuminga is losing some minutes there. I think that's Kuminga's role.
Whose minutes is DiVincenzo taking?
Gary Payton second.
Whose minutes was Gary Payton taking? Whose minutes was he taking?
Moody. Moses Moody. Yeah, I mean, but Moody's a bigger – I see what you're saying, but I think DiVincenzo is going to play.
Well, also, the other thing –
plus the veterans are taking a lot of time off.
Well, that's the thing. I think sometimes because of just how the brains work, like we're coming off the playoffs. We're like, you know, the rotation is tight. It's compact. We're getting back to the regular season basketball. Like there's going to be Moses Moody, DiVincenzo, like starting lineups in San Antonio.
Moody's going to start games and – you know, I don't know that Kuminga will start games. Maybe.
Kuminga probably started 8 in the last regular season. Yeah. It's a regular season in the NBA.
I would see, is Draymond going to play more than 40 games? Would 40? He does have to. I'm saying he did not last season.
No.
Yeah, and
I mean, he will unless there's an injury like last season.
And who saw last season's injury coming? You know, we'll see. I think. You know, I think
Looney ain't playing 82.
No, I should ask her that. It's like, are you actually going to try to do that again? Probably you guys should ask Looney at the media day. But
Kerr's talking Saturday. I think Looney's talking Saturday. Yeah, there's going to be plenty of Steve Kerr press conferences in your future,
yes,
sir.
Yes. Well, not for me on Saturday and Sunday. If Draymond does not sign the extension, it's probably better bet that he doesn't get an extension than he does. I'm going to be very curious to see. You talk about the motivation. Is he going to play? I think they want to see him. I'll just put it this way. I don't have it from anybody, but they really want to see him play regular season games. Last season was not something they want to see replicated. Just somebody out there, you know, you don't have to play 70 games, but play 60, play 65. Steph's probably averaging about 60 the last 4 seasons. Do that. Not take half the season off. You know, there were reasons for it. I'm not saying there weren't, but I think at this stage of his career, in their minds, Draymond will prove that he's worth every single dollar of a large extension, in part if he's playing a lot of games this season.
Yeah, but it's not a large extension. That's wild. You need Draymond in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, play 40 games and then
can he play do that? All How many playoffs? Times can he do that, though? I mean,
he what's crazy is last year was the first time ever in his life he's had a serious injury.
Yeah.
Now, it was not great injury. You know, it was the type of injury you start to be more concerned over the long haul, just especially with style of play. But yeah, I mean, I think it's very reasonable to think Steph, Clay, Draymond are angling for 65 to 70 games, barring an significant injury. And a lot of times, I mean, Steph, you think is online to play 70, whatever, and then Aaron Baines falls on his hand, he plays 5 games essentially. So, and, well, and that's unforeseeable.
That happens. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But they do have these young guys to play. Like, they can just play these young guys, and they're not saying it. But what? So if they win 49 and are the sixth seed, is that going to be the worst thing in the history of the world for them? No, it's not. You're going to play some road games. They win road games in the playoffs, I guess, every single time, since that's what they do. And it wouldn't be terrible to just say, you know what, Moses Moody, you're going to get 20 straight starts. Wiseman, you're the backup center, going to get 20 minutes a game. If it goes well, great. If it doesn't go well, such as it is, we'll be the seventh seed then. Maybe you don't want to be the seventh seed because that gets you in that play and stuff. But like them at the fifth, sixth seed, them, you know, starting on the road against what? You know, who? Dallas in the first? I don't think they'd be that bothered by that. So I think you do have some leeway to play some of these young guys, knowing who you are, knowing that Draymond, Steph, and Clay are going to be there for you in the playoffs. What the hell? Let's just see some of these young guys play.
Marcus, we haven't talked to you in a while on this podcast. What is, I don't know, just like a topic, maybe out a little bit away from the obvious ones that you're caring about heading into camp?
When does camp start?
Saturday.
Marcus has still got to be aware of how he's Clay. He's not sure who's on the team right now.
How about Clay's season?
I have no idea what's happening. They're hyping Clay. Clay looks great.
They're hyping everybody. Be
better. Yeah, they are hyping people. I think Clay is like, you know, you can write Clay down. You know, he's going to average what he's going to average. He's going to take his shots. He'll be good. To me, I think I'm mostly curious about Jordan Poole. And what is the next level? What does he do now? You know, we saw him kind of step up a bit in the finals, but I want to see if he's stronger, right? I want to see if he's trying to play defense more, TK. Like, you know, I want to, like, those type of things. Is he going to become a leader? I remember in 2013, remember how, like, they go on that playoff run, and the next year, it's like, all right, we know who Steph is. Like, we're coming for you. We got a plan for you. I feel like that's going to be Jordan Poole's life, and I wonder how he responds to that. To me, if he does that, then that he becomes like the automatic keeper. Like, you don't lose.
I think I know the answer, but I think Slater and I have talked about this. Do you think they always put guys in two categories in this rookie deal situation? Is he a guy who is going to want a deal? Like, I got to have a deal. Maybe I take a little less because I just want to have this. You know, Steph was like that because of the ankles, but Steph took the deal. Or is Jordan Poole going to say, yeah, you know what? You've got to give me this top dollar or else I'm going to play and make it pay for you. Which side is Jordan Poole?
I think he's, I'm going to make you pay me top dollar because if I'm him, if I was putting myself in his shoes, that would be my opinion of myself. I mean, when has he not proven himself correct in his NBA career to this point?
What he does, everybody wants. Like, everybody wants it. You put Jordan Poole on the Celtics, they win the title. Like, that's what they wanted Peyton Pritchard to do. That's what they wanted somebody else to do. They had nothing, right?
Yeah, and you know what? Advanced, you know, front offices from a metric perspective love efficiency. Yeah. Look at his efficiency numbers. They're insane. He's like best free throw shooter in the league. That
true
type shoot, of stuff.
True shooting. Yeah. I agree with you. And, you know, and someone says, well, he get hurt. You know what? Even if he gets hurt, not a major injury, he doesn't have a great season, they're still going to pay him money. It's, like, he's not going to lose. I don't think he's going to lose money. He just can't be terrible. But I think we all know he's not going to be terrible. Jordan Poole's a good player. Jordan Poole scores. So I agree with you. I think he would. I think he probably should. You never know, though. Like, someone, they put 4 years, $100 million, you know, the Hardaway deal to him. Like, does he? I'm sorry. Simon, where's the Simon's deal?
Simon's was 400. Yeah. Brunson, you know, was a little
if
bit.
If they go 400, I don't think they could go much higher than 400 at this moment. That's 400. Like, that's $100 million that's sitting on the table. I agree with you. I don't think he would do that, but we'll see.
I think he might do it. I think you kind of gotta sell him on it, right? Like, it's got to be like, hey, here's $100 million, and this thing is yours. Like, Chase is yours.
Well, you said, you know, Steph took 4 for 44, right? Exactly. It worked out okay for him.
Chase is yours. You're the heir apparent, right? You're the guy we're doing this next. I know everybody's been talking about Wiseman, but you're the next guy.
Well, okay, so when Steph does 4 for 44, he's still like, do you're the starting point guard, you're the franchise face as long as you're healthy.
No, David Lee was the franchise face.
Okay,
back then. Come on now.
Regardless, Steph, you have the ball in the backcourt. Guess what you're doing? You're starting. You mentioned if this goes really right this season for Jordan Poole, there's the cautionary tale that I was comparing Poole's situation to in the past. I'm not saying it's going to go this way, but you know, I've mentioned the Reggie Jackson situation I covered in Oklahoma City. He had it wasn't a Jordan Poole type playoffs, and they certainly didn't win the title, but he had a very good playoffs off the bench. And then heading into that next season, which was the same exact season, this fourth year where he could have signed an extension, he was starting to write starting point guard on his sneakers and, you know, on a team that Russell Westbrook was the starting point guard. And he was just starting to make noise. And he forced his way to Detroit, basically. It turned into an Enes Kanter trade. I'm not saying Poole is going to do that, but a difference in some of these situations, and you saying right now, well, you can say, Jordan, this will be yours. Well, he can say, Steph Curry starting at point guard, Klay Thompson starting as shooting guard. Are you saying that's not going to be the case next season? Is that not going to be the case the season after?
It'll be the case in 4 years. Like, it'll be the case in 4 years.
And he says, all right, well, my next contract will be up in 4 years. Yeah. So maybe I'll go to Orlando and then y'all can give. No, I'm not saying any of this is going to happen, but I'm just saying it's a harder case to make.
If you want
to
sell them on that, like, that's the – I mean, we're talking about the Golden State Warriors, right? So, I mean, if
– and you'll be maxed out once at the end of the four-year deal.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Steph – walk away at the end of this deal. This is your, like, it's not like you're getting a franchise. You're getting the franchise. Like, if that's not a sale for him, then yeah, obviously he's like, yo, I'm out. Like, I'll holler at you in Orlando, right? But but if you're going to go 4 for 25, right, 25 a year, I mean, you got to sprinkle that thing somehow. If you just tell them, hey, man, here's 4 for 25, you should be happy. Jordan Poole's like, screw you. I'm about to go prove you something. But if it's packaged as, you know, as an anointing, as a crowning, and then, you know.
Like, do they do a press conference up here on Skybar?
This franchise is going to be yours. It's going to be when that guy Curry guy's gone.
He's like, yo, make Steph my backup. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo, this dude.
I'm starting. I know he's got a lot of earning power in the future. That's unquestioned. The teams pay for what he does. That's, like, interesting. They didn't pay for Kevon Looney. Why again, underscore? Didn't pay huge for GP2, done score. Jordan Poole scores. He scores with the ball, with creativity. He's going to get paid. But I also can say, you know, listen, yeah, 4 for 100, your jersey goes up in the banner, up in the rafters in 15 years. Like, you know, that's the MT sales job, and I can see him saying that. And then they can say, listen, we just can't do anything more given the luxury tax number that's coming up. If you don't like it, that's okay. But that's the number that we can get you. And you know what happens in 2 years? If that happens, they can also trade him. So, like, all these things are, I'm sure, part of some of the things we're asking Myers about. Like, some of it is all just get him at a good deal. If he takes it, great. And then he might flourish, and they might be able to trade him. It's all these options are on the table.
Also something that Poole knows, too, though. If he locks in now, he could be traded next summer. Yeah. If he don't lock in now, he holds more control next summer.
Trade next summer just because he wouldn't be a base year.
No, you could still.
But base year, you can trade.
You can trade him, but it'd be tough. Numbers would be tough.
Yeah.
But he could. It has happened. We know.
I'm just saying he controls it a bit more of the process if he goes into next summer. Yeah. He has to have a good season. But right his now, other thing is you could.
D'Angelo Russell or Jordan Poole, who's better? Let me
throw
it right now.
Well, I mean, Poole.
It's not even close. So that's why Jordan Poole might not take it, because D'Angelo Russell is, what, $30 million a year? Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you might not take 25 because you have 30.
Well, and not only that, you can say, well, you know, we're offering you this franchise. You know what Jordan Poole also probably does? You're matching. You know, I can go get big money. You're going
to
match.
Yeah, but will somebody offer that to him if they know the Warriors are matching? Match. That's the problem. Yeah. You play all these games. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. I don't know. It's like some guys might want that money. Like, I mean, no, a lot of guys would just take the money. We'll see if he does. It's just a fascinating thing that has so many different layers. We could write about it. I'm determined to write about this. I'll write about it next week. Just the options that the Warriors are going to try to give themselves, even when they start handing out money, because you can move off these deals.
And one of the things that makes us a little bit different is he's been playing with Steph Curry. He's been playing with Andre Iguodala. The amount of information they've told him about how to work the game, how to play it, the smart moves, the other moves we don't know about, all that. He probably got all the information. So it isn't as cut and dry. He's been at the feet under the tutelage of some people who've done this for a long time.
He knows is they've tried other guys to play this position alongside Steph and Clay, and none of them have been even half as good as him. And if they lost him, how would they replace him? It wouldn't be with Moses Moody, right? It's just that's a different kind of player. There's just nobody else who's been able to do this. Livingston is the closest, and it's a totally different player. They would be really hard-pressed to find anybody who could do what he can do.
I mean, look, if you just said 5 years from now, the Warriors have four young players, Jordan Poole, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, James Wiseman. 5 years from now, who would you guess is the best NBA player of the bunch? You could make arguments for Kuminga and Wiseman, certainly, but I think we'd all probably take Poole. It's the safest choice.
Well, he's already put it down. Like, he's already put up a pelt, you know. Part of that playoff run was him saying, I am a player that can be impact playoff series. And he did, sometimes negatively, but mostly positively. And that's, on this team, in this era, that's immense. And you don't know that about Kuminga. I would put Kuminga as the closest just because he can do so many different things, but we don't know. And Wiseman hasn't, as Myers didn't play last season. So, yes, like who would you what percentage of their career earnings would you take out of that group? Like, I can take one player's percentage of earnings, it'd be Jordan Poole. He's gonna make the most out of that.
I'm taking a dude who can shoot all day,
and he's still 24, whatever. Yeah, he's still young, he can dribble. Like, that guy's gonna make, like, we've seen guys who are way worse than him make a lot of money. He's gonna make a ton of money in this league.
And soon he will. Is there anything else before I close out our pre-camp podcast before practice? Anything else stick out to you?
You guys are ripping me because he's going to be in the G League, but the guy I really want to see is Patrick. I'm just curious. 6'10" guy who's smart. I want to see him. I just want to see what he looks like on a basketball
court. Why don't you pop on that UW-Milwaukee tape? You can watch
it. No, you're sending me down to Santa Cruz. That's what you're going to do. Just get me on that bus. I want to see how he plays.
I'm actually more interested in Ryan Rollins.
Rollins is going to play more. Yeah, he's got a better chance to play.
And, you know, maybe that's me. You know, I'm more interested in the present. But, I want to see Ryan Rollins.
I want to see a guy who has a chance to get on the court. Like, how's that?
But, you know, like, they're kind of hype on Ryan Rollins.
So. I mean, the fact that they just named him the third point guard, like, at draft night was crazy to me. It's like, this is our guy. We're done with point guards.
Guaranteed deal. Guaranteed multi-year deal. I mean, like, this guy's, they
not
like
even
him.
Like, we're going to put him at the end, and we're going to get another point guard. They're like, no, this is our third point guard here. We're good.
Is he better than Charles Jenkins? I'm trying to think of some of the other those draft picks that they've had. They have not done very well in the second round.
We're going to see.
Who's a guy? I can't even think.
McCaw would be kind of.
McCaw would be one. Yeah, they like McCaw a lot. That was not this administration. That was another administration.
All right, we will talk to you. I mean, maybe we'll do some type of crossover where I'm from Japan or not. Next week might be a little bit rough.
Yeah, I think we might not do it. Maybe Nancy and I will do it.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. Talk to you then.